by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
There was a middle-aged woman who had a very severe heart attack, and she was taken to the hospital. And while she was on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. And there in that experience, she saw God, and she said to God, "Is my time up?" And God said, "No, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live." Well, the woman was ecstatic, and of course, she recovered. Knowing that she had so many years ahead of her, she decided that she was going to really enjoy these years. And so she decided that she was going to have a facelift, and she was going to have liposuction, and she was also going to have a tummy tuck. She actually had her hairdresser come into the hospital and dye her hair a different color, all because she had so much time to live. And as she left the hospital, she was crossing the street, and she was run over and killed by an ambulance. And so, once again, she arrived in the presence of God. And she said, "I thought I had another 40 years. And God said, "I didn't recognize you." One more time. There you go. Thank you. You see, we can change a lot of things. Many things change in life. If you look at your life, you're able to see how many things in your life have changed. We can change our looks. We can change the way we do things. We can be changed. Our lives can be transformed and changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And although there are many changes that we will face, there is one thing that we can always, always, always count on that will never, ever, ever change. And you know what that is? It's God's love for us. God's love for us will never, ever change. And so while everything around us is changing, while our bodies are changing as they grow older, while our families grow and things change, one thing will never change. And it is God's love. God's love is constant. It is steadfast. It is unwavering. It is enduring. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 8, it says, "I will show you my love forever, so says the Lord who saves you." God's love for us will never change. But there's a catch to that. God says, that is the same kind of love you need to have for everyone else. Ugh. In John chapter 15 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you." That means our love for one another, for everyone else, being like God's, needs to be constant, it needs to be steadfast, it needs to be unchanging, it needs to be unwavering, and it needs to be enduring. How do we do that? Is that possible? Do you know that the divorce rate in the United States is about 50% for first marriages? Second marriages, 67%. And third marriages, 74% end in divorce. So you might say, how is it that love can last a lifetime? We have a couple who was married yesterday. They might be asking, how is it that love can last for a lifetime? With all of the changes that we experience in our day-to-day lives, how is it that love for one another will not change? How can we love others in the same way that God loves us? consistently, unconditionally, and eternally. You know, my friends, we hear of love at first sight. Anybody here believe in love at first sight? Some people, perhaps. You know, love at first sight is really no big deal. You want to know what the big deal is? When a couple can live together for an entire lifetime and still love one another. That's the big deal. I want to ask a question. How many of the couples who are here today are married 50 years or longer? Stand up. Let's see who you are. Stand up. You know, and if you're a widow or a widower that was married 50 years, would you also stand up? You've accomplished something. Thank you. I have a question for you folks. Was it always easy? Be careful. She had to put up with you. Well, you can sit down. But we're grateful. That is an accomplishment for somebody to be married for so many years. But you know, if we were honest with one another, those 50 years were not always just marital bliss. I am sure in those 50 years, it was not always easy. There were times that you probably just wanted to pull your hair out. And looking, looks like some of you did. But boo! Hey, mine's going way back, so it's just the way it is. You're in company. But anyway, it is not always easy. There are times that couples will come to a place where they say, you know, I'm not sure if this is worth it. I'm not sure if I can endure this. And so how is it that they keep on loving? Well, someone has said that if you're going to have love that lasts a lifetime, you need to figure out how to overcome the deadly D's in every relationship. They are difficulties, disagreements, differences, discord, disappointment, defeat, dead ends, depression, delay, doubt, distance, death, debt, and demands. Man, marriage relationships and all other relationships face a lot of D challenges. So how do we love for a lifetime? Open your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 once again. We're going to be looking at this passage, I think, one more time today. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Beginning with verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now pay attention to this verse. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I want to show you in a couple different translations of verse 7. And so, first of all, in the New Living, it says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. In the Contemporary English, it says, love is always supportive, loyal, helpful, and trusting. Sounds almost like the Scout Pledge, doesn't it? And then in the Amplified, it says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ready to believe the best in every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Wow. And my friends, that is the kind of love that we are supposed to have for everyone. Wow. Everyone. According to this verse, there are some things that we must do if our love is going to last a lifetime. If we're going to learn to love other people in the way that God loves us, there are some things that we need to develop in our life. And today they're called secrets, but after I tell them, they won't be secrets anymore, but that's what they are today. And so as we look at four secrets today of lasting love, secret number one says this: lasting love extends grace. If you're following along in your outline, lasting love extends grace. The first thing that we need to learn to do if we're going to love in the way that God loves us is to extend grace. No relationship will ever make it for the long haul if we cannot cut slack for the other person. We need to learn to show forgiveness. We need to learn to show mercy. We need to learn to be patient. We need to show acceptance. And we need grace. We have to learn to let some things pass by. Not every hill is worth dying on. And that means sometimes we have to learn to put up with things that are not the way that we would do it. In the Message, it says, speaking of this kind of love, it puts up with anything. Another translation that I don't have for you, it patiently accepts all things. The New Jerusalem Bible says, it's always ready to make allowances. Love allows for mistakes. In a relationship, someone cannot be a taskmaster, holding everything to a perfect line. That's not love. Love allows for grace. Love does not haul people into account for every mistake that is made. Love does not put up a stink every time something is done differently than the way that you would do it. And grace is essential in all relationships. And you know why? Because every one of us are sinners. Every one of us have been marred by sin. I know it's hard for some of us to admit it, but we're not perfect. And your spouse is not perfect. Neither are you as a spouse. And your children are not perfect. I always thought I would have perfect children when I had children, and now that I have five of them, I know that I won't have perfect children, including you, Beth. It's just the way it is. But isn't it the way it is? Before you had children, I'm the youngest in my family, and all of my siblings were having kids, and I would say, oh man, when I have kids, they're never going to act like that. My kids acted just like that, and sometimes they pulled it a little farther. It's the way it is. There's no one that is perfect. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is no one who always does what is right, not even one. And so, my friend, if you think that you're always right, this is what God says: not even one. None of us get it right 100% of the time. And farther, in 1 John 1:8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. The truth is that we all sin. The truth is that not one of us is right all of the time. And so if you think that the relational problems in your life are everyone else's fault, that's not true. We need to own up to the fact that part of the relational problem that we have comes back to us as well. Someone has said it takes two to tango, and it takes two to tangle. There's usually a part on both sides. And that is why if we are going to love in the same way that God loves, we need to be willing to extend grace. In fact, Jesus says, we cannot receive grace, we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give to other people. It's a little hard for us to really understand what grace is in our own lives if we can't extend any grace to anyone else. We build relationships in our family, in our marriages, in our church. We build relationships in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in the places where we work. When we begin to treat other people in the way that God treats us. In Romans 15, it says, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. And how is that? How is it that Christ accepts you? He really accepts us the way we are, doesn't he? He lets us come to him with all of our sinfulness and all of our brokenness. And in spite of the fact that he knows everything about us, when we come, he opens his arms to us and welcomes us and extends his grace and his forgiveness. And that is the kind of love that we need to have for one another. A few weeks ago, I talked about turtles and skunks, and I've been accused of putting up a stink once in a while because I'm a skunk, but I came across something about bullfrogs, and I thought I might bring another animal into it. And do you know that the bullfrog has some kind of a disconnect to its brain that supposedly, now I don't know how they find this out, but supposedly a bullfrog can't hear the noise that it makes. Now I don't know how they found that out, but that's what they came up with, that a bullfrog cannot hear the noise it makes. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know any people like that? Do you know any humans like that? People that just like blah, 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 and they don't really hear what it is that they're saying. They probably don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to be a really irritating that day. No, they probably don't realize how it is that they grate against other people. And that's why we need to extend grace. That's why we need to show grace to one another. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:2, be humble and gentle with each other. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's faults. Why? Because of your love. When there's a lot of bickering, and a lot of complaining, and a lot of grumbling, and a lot of backbiting going on. Do you know what the real problem is? It's a lack of love. Because love covers a multitude of sins. If we're loving, and really loving each other the way we're supposed to, we're not going to be picking and carrying on, finding fault with every little thing. But rather, we will show grace because love never stops being patient. Secret number two, lasting love expresses faith. Lasting love doesn't just extend grace, it expresses faith. Faith and love are intertwined because love is built on trust. And so we need to learn to trust other people, believe in them. And that's what love is. Love says, I believe in you, I trust you, I have confidence in you. Faith is not fearful. Love is not fearful. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. When we love someone, we need to trust that person. In fact, it's almost impossible to really love someone that you don't trust. The scripture we read this morning says, love always trusts. It never loses faith. It never stops believing. It gives people the benefit of the doubt. You know, one way or one evidence to know if you really are loving people and showing trust is if you're willing to give people a second chance. If you're not willing to give somebody a second chance, you're not really trusting and loving. When somebody looks at you the wrong way or says something to you that offends you, do you write them off? Do you write them down in your book where you're going to get even? Do you say things like, all right, that's it. I'm never going to that Bible study again. I can't stand that woman or I can't stand that man, and I'm never going to be in their presence again. I'm never going to serve in ministry with that so-and-so person, never. You know that neighbor over there? I'm never talking to them again. When we say those things or think those things, guess what we're doing? We are not obedient to God's word. We are not loving in the same way that we have experienced love, because love gives people a second chance. And you know what? I think I could go on and say it gives a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance, because real love does not keep score. Anybody who's a coach knows that the quickest way to restore confidence in the kid after he fumbles the ball is to give him the ball on the very next play. Otherwise, that child could easily develop a phobia and says, oh man, I'm going to drop it again. I can't do this. God says, if you want to build a lasting relationship, then you need to learn to trust. And some of you are saying, Pastor, you don't know what I deal with. You don't know my spouse. You don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. You don't know my teenager. How can I trust them? Danette and I attended a family life parenting seminar some years ago. And Dennis Rainey, who you may be familiar with, who is the founder and chairperson of Family Life Ministry, said this: God is the God of the helpless parent. God knows everything that your child is doing. And I'll go so far as to say, God is the God of the helpless spouse as well. And God knows everything. And so if you're still in a state that you're learning to trust your spouse or you're learning to trust your teenager, trust them in God's care. Trust God. God can certainly take care of that person. God knows everything that they're up to and everything that they're doing. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, I don't think the way you think, and the way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. God knows what's going on. Trust Him. The God that commands you to always trust allows you to trust Him. Secret 3. Lasting love expects the best. It is optimistic. It is not stuck in past failures. checking the record books of failures. It is hopeful. It looks forward. It is positive. We read, love always expects the best. It always looks for the best. You ever notice that people tend to live up to their expectations that you have for them? Really? I mean, if you tell a child long and often enough that they're no good, guess what they're probably going to be? They will live up to their expectations. And that's true in a lot of areas of life. If you have a place of leadership in your job, if you expect poor job performance from one of your employees, guess what you're most often going to get? Poor job performance. Because that's the way it is. You ever hear the term self-fulfilling prophecy? It's when we kind of make a statement and it alters the actions that what we said becomes a reality. Sometimes, especially as parents, we make statements about kids and we think about kids that they're not doing what they need to do. And we use words like, you'll never be able to do this. Or you always do this. And generally, that child will learn to usually fulfill those expectations right to the T. And so we need to learn to love, and love expects the best, not the worst, not the failure, but looks for the best. Love looks to the positive side and says, I see what you can become. I see what you are becoming. I believe in you. I think you will be able to accomplish this. And so when we're programming our spouses and we're programming our children, our teenagers, to follow our expectations, we need to make sure that our expectations are being set for what it is we really expect. And love always expects the best. And then finally, secret four, lasting love endures the worst. Those people that stood up and said, I'm married 50 years or plus. By the way, the Walcotts are going to be married 60 years in August. Imagine that. Those people that stood up and said they're married 50 years, almost 60 years, they've endured some tough things. They've endured financial problems. They've endured kid problems. They've endured all kinds of things in their life. Love endures the worst. It is stubborn. And it never looks back. It always looks to the end. Great people are just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. The Bible says they don't know how to quit. And my friends, lasting love never gives up. You continue to persevere, you continue to hang in there. Learning to love is tough. It's probably the most important lesson in life. In fact, Jesus said, all of the commands hang on two. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We sang about that this morning. And loving our neighbor, loving one another the same way. Learning to love God might be easy. Learning to love those difficult people in our life is another story, right? But the only way that we will ever learn to love is when we love when we don't feel like loving. Love is an emotion, but love cannot be driven by our emotions because our emotions change. Real love is expressed in the same way that God loves us. God has extended His grace to us. He has made it possible for us to have a personal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, simply by seeking forgiveness and extending that gift of eternal life. He took upon Himself the punishment that we deserve to pay. My friends, that's grace. God expresses faith in us. He believed in every one of us enough to create us. He believed in us enough that He would die in our place. And my friends, if you know Jesus as your Savior, He believes you in you enough that He would place His Holy Spirit inside of you. That is faith expressed by God. God expects our best. God knows when we are not living up to our potential, and He continually prods us along, shows us the way through His Word, guides us through His Spirit, continually expecting us to do the best that we can. And finally, God endured the worst. He endured the absolute worst as He hung on a cross, was separated from His heavenly Father in those moments of time, forsaken by the Father who He enjoyed eternity with. Enduring the worst, He paid the penalty for your sin and mine. And so when it comes to love, God shows us how to love. And so we need to ask ourselves two questions as we close. The first question is this: do you love others in the same way that God loves you? That's probably the right answer. I don't know who that was, but thank you. It was probably not the right answer. That was probably the right answer, because you know what? All of us fall short. There are times that me becomes the priority. And love, the kind of love we're supposed to have, just falls by the wayside because we want to fulfill our own sinful, selfish, have it my way or the highway desires. Second question is this: which of the secrets of lasting love do you need to put into practice? Maybe you need to learn to cut a little slack once in a while. Maybe you need to learn to show a little grace. Maybe you need to express a little trust once in a while. Show and encourage somebody that you have faith in them and that you believe in them. Maybe you need to expect the best. Stop looking at that glass that's half empty and saying it's never going to be full. But rather look and say, you know, I believe that that glass can be full someday. And endure the worst. When problems occur, when those deadly D's come, difficulty, disappointment, endure the worst. Choose today to never quit. You know, I've heard many couples say, you know, we had all kinds of problems. Every once in a while, we just felt like giving up. And then one day, we decided that quitting wasn't a viable option. And they stick in there. Others have made choices that have ended some relationships. And God offers grace there as well. God offers faith and trust there. God still expects the best. The kind of love that God has for us has been demonstrated in many ways. And he says, you see how I have loved? I want you to go, and I want you to love everybody the same way. Father, thank you for not merely saying, go love one another, but rather demonstrating what real love is. Father, you love us enough that you would extend grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. You show us in your word how it is that we are to truly love. And Lord, we would have to say that none of us is perfect, not even one. And so we've all failed. But Lord, we would invite you to show us each day how you have loved us, that we might love others in the same way. Lead us, guide us, direct us, prod us along by your Spirit, Lord, that we might truly love in a way that is always persevering and always, always, always enduring. We thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to transform lives. In Jesus' name, amen.